Let's just come to God in prayer. O Lord of hosts, God of glory, the God who is holy, 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 we come to you this morning. We come in Jesus' name. We come in the way that he has made for us. We know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That no one comes to the Father except by him. Forgive us, O Lord, our every sin. We are aware from your word, by the Holy Spirit's conviction, that for those of us here who are Christians, you made us in your image, and yet we sinned, we rebelled, we spoiled that image that you made. We lived in sin. We have rebelled against you. Every intention of our thought was evil, always, continually. Where would we be had you not intervened? The marvel isn't that you have... We shouldn't feel cross because you've not saved everyone, because the marvel is that you've saved anyone. You'd be perfectly justified to send every single person on this planet to hell. That includes me and everyone in this room. And yet, in your loving kindness, you have saved us. You have sent your Son to live the life we never could live. Perfect obedience. What a saviour. And yet he would pay the price we owe you. An infinite price we cannot pay. Our crime is an infinite crime. Oh Lord, would we be washed this morning by the blood of Christ? Would we be reminded of all that he's done for us? Would we be convicted of our sin afresh? Would you reveal those hidden sins, those hidden faults, O Lord? For those of us that are saved, would we be marvel in the loving kindness that you have shown us? Would we remember the darkness that we were once in? And would we be amazed at the light that we've been called into? No, Lord, we do pray for people here who do not know you. You know them, each by name. O Lord, would it please you, in your mercy, to bring them to yourself? We pray that our worship this morning would be pleasing to you, that we would do it in spirit and in truth. Help us, O God, because we cannot worship in and of ourselves. We need your aid to pray, to sing, because, Lord, you do not delight in mere outward conformity, outward religion. You don't delight in sacrifices and offerings. Otherwise, you delight in a contrite and broken spirit. O Lord, would we come this morning as those aware of our need for Jesus Christ. Amen. Our first reading, there'll be two readings today, is from the book of Kings. 1 Kings chapter 12. And children, I'd really appreciate it if you listen to this reading very carefully, because I'll be making reference to it in the message. Bit of context for you. We have a king called Rehoboam. He's the son of Solomon. Solomon was a very wise king, and Rehoboam follows after. Let's see if he was a wise king. Verse 1. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had gone to Shechem to make him king. So it happened when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard it, he was still in Egypt, for he had fled from the presence of King Solomon and had been dwelling in Egypt, that they sent him and called him. Then Jeroboam and the whole assembly of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, "Your father," that is Solomon, "made our yoke heavy. Now, therefore, lighten the burden, some service of your father, and his heavy yoke which he has put on us, and we will serve you." So he said to them, "Depart for 3 days, then come back to me." And the people departed. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived. And he said, How do you advise me to answer these people?" And they spoke to him, saying, "If you will be a servant to these people today and serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever." But he rejected the advice which the elders had given him. And he consulted the young men who had grown up with him, who stood before him. And he said to them, "What advice do you give? How should we answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, 'Lighten the yoke which your father put on us'?" And then the young men who had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, Thus you should speak to this people who have spoken to you, saying, your father made our yoke heavy, but you shall make it lighter on us. But you shall say to them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. And now, whereas my father put a heavy yoke on you, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scourges. Amen. We have a king, Rehoboam. He has a situation on his hands, and he wonders to himself, what should I do? Should I make the people's yoke lighter, or should I make it heavy like my father did? He consults the older generation. They give him some advice, listens to it. He again consults the younger generation, and they give him some advice, and he listens to the younger generation. And what we see is that, rather tragically for Rehoboam, the consequences to him not obeying the wisdom of the elders was that the kingdom of Israel split into two. It's southern Judah and northern Israel. And the rest of the book of Kings describes the tragic consequences, the wars, death of kings, short lives the kings lived. Terrible, terrible things happened because this man didn't listen to the wisdom of those who taught him. Before we come to God's word, I'm just going to ask Phil, are you okay to come and pray for the word preached?
Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come and pray to you now. And we thank you for this opportunity this morning, Lord, of coming together to worship you like this. And we thank you that today is the Sunday school choir giving, Lord. And we thank you the opportunity we have of being able to share your word with your children, Lord, come here on a Sunday and throughout the week, Lord. We just pray particularly now for all the children that we do have coming along to that. Lord, thank you for the primary, for my class, for Mike's class, and for Mark's class, and our community class, Lord. And Lord, we pray that these children, young in life, may come to know you. Mm-hmm. And we do cover their souls, and that we'd love to see them show really interest in the things of God, Lord. And we're moving our hearts, and we're calling to yourself. Lord, we do thank you for the truth of the way, Lord, that we've sung about and read about this morning, Lord. Lord, we've just sung that last. Get together, Lord, we go through, Lord, from that plan of salvation right through to all our eternal, our preservation to the end, Lord. We thank you for these truths, Lord, and they warm our hearts. We're grateful to you if we're in Christ this morning. Lord, we thank you that we can approach the very throne of heaven itself, Lord, because of what our Saviour has done for us. We think now that we are aware that the ground we want is holy ground. We can approach the throne of heaven because of our Saviour. We thank you so much. Can we just pray now for the local church around here? Very briefly, Lord, we pray for them as you work ours out and beg to meet them here in Thames, really, in particular, Lord, as well, this morning it's down. Lord, we pray for Mark, Lord. Thank you for him, the way he seeks to serve you. May he know an unusual amount of liberties when this is your word. May he be aware of your Holy Spirit upholding him. He seeks to make Christ known. And Lord, now we do thank you that someone's been able to study your word this week. We know, Lord, that he cannot possibly stand here and share your word in his own strength, Lord. That would be completely futile. But we pray that he may. Your Holy Spirit may be the word to speak to this morning. Amen. The liberty to speak, Lord. We can't be a holy angel around this place, Lord, that Satan might get in to snatch that seed away. And Lord, we pray that your word will be effective this morning. Help us, it's your people, that your word will apply to our lives. And we hear it coming to us. And Lord, may your word be a sharp sword that cuts to the souls of many of the boys and girls here this morning. We pray. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Phil. If you're turning your Bibles now to Ephesians chapter 6, just going to take a short break from the armour of God. Lord willing, I'll pick it back up again next week. But we're still in chapter 6, and we'll be doing the first three verses. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. Hear what God has to say to us. From verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Amen. Here is a commandment, children, everyone in this room, listen up. Here is a commandment to obey your parents in the Lord. Now, why is it important for us to consider this morning? Why was it important for me to spend time studying this week? Well, did you know when children don't obey their parents in society, it is a sign that things have got very, very bad indeed. Very, very dark times when children do not obey their parents. If you were to turn to Romans chapter 1, Paul talks about a society that has gone astray from God, a society that has rejected his word. And he lists all these different features of society that has rejected God's word. He mentions things like covetousness, desiring things that aren't yours, murder. I'm sure you'd agree, murder is a sign of a bad society. We have a lot of that today, don't we, in London? Backbiters, those that talk about people behind their backs. Those that hate God. But look what it says at the end of verse 30. Those who are disobedient to their parents. If you were to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, we would read, in the last days, perilous times will come, difficult times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. And then look what it says at the end of verse 2. Disobedient to their parents. When children are disobedient to their parents, it is a sign of great evil. It is a sign of a rejection against God. Maybe you can remember the London riots a few years ago. Hundreds and hundreds of teenagers walking through the streets of Croydon, Tottenham, ripping up shops, stealing things. It's like we got a glimpse of the society and the time we are living in. These last days, these difficult times. Because when we see children rebelling against their parents, as I have said, it is ultimately therefore a sign of rebellion against God. Now, why am I choosing to talk about this? Today is prize giving, isn't it? And what do you do? What's the prize giving about? Well, you've had a year already gone by where you've listened to your Sunday school teachers. You've listened to your parents and they've encouraged you to do the right things. They've encouraged you to follow Jesus Christ. But maybe you have not responded to some of their teachings. And ultimately, as much as we hope at Sunday school you do listen to your teachers, the ultimate responsibility for your development and your growth lies with your parents. Sunday school is like a supplement. It's like an added extra. It's a bonus. But ultimately, the good of your soul, the good of your body and of your mind and of your future lies in the home. Now, maybe you resent this. Maybe you don't like it that you're born into a Christian family. Do you think that sometimes? I can remember being a kid going, why can't I have been born into that family? Because they get to do so many more cool things. I have to come to church on Sunday when my friends are playing football, where my friends are swimming, where my friends are dancing. Oh, God, it's not fair. It's not fair. And maybe your attitude towards your parents isn't very good. And ultimately, maybe your attitude to your Sunday school teachers isn't very good. You're moving up another age group, you're just thinking, I can't wait till I don't have to go anymore. It's boring, maybe. It's maybe what you think, I don't know. But I know people do think this. But this has relevance to you. Paul is speaking to the children. Just a note, maybe you wonder why you have to sit through these services. Where were the children when this letter was being read to the churches? Where were they? Children, obey your parents. Were they in a Sunday school whilst church was going on? Were they at home watching the television? They were in church with their mummies and their dads, with their brothers and their sisters, with their uncles and aunts. That's why it's important you are here, because God's word speaks to you. And Paul stopped to speak to the children. He says, obey your parents. Now, if you're adults here, maybe you haven't got children, maybe you're not even married, does this have any relevance to you? All Scripture is useful. All Scripture. This has something to say to you, and I hope you will see that in a moment. But also, more than that, we have a duty, adults, to one another. A responsibility to encourage one another. If you see one of the children in the church stepping the mark to their, or disrespecting their parents, you have an obligation to correct them, to teach them. And so I hope that by studying this, by looking at this passage, we will be equipped to pray for our children correctly. You know, you need to know how to pray for your children, don't you? How can I pray for them? Well, we get an insight here how we can pray for them. Teenagers, or maybe being a child was a long time ago to you. Maybe you're going to realise this morning that you're guilty of not obeying your parents, and maybe you have some apologies to make to your parents. So, firstly, a commandment that is right. Paul gives a commandment that is right. Honour, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, why should you obey? Why obey my parents? I mean, they make my life miserable. I mean, why can't I wear these clothes? Why can't I go out with a non-Christian? Why can't I play football on Sunday? Why do I have to come to church? Why can't I play that video game? My parents, they always think they know best. But they don't. They don't know best. They don't even know me. That boy I like, that girl I like, they're really nice. My parents don't know that. They make my life miserable. They're a hindrance to what I want to do in life. Why does it matter if I'm friends with that person? They don't. They just seem to think they're going to lead me astray, but they don't know them like I know them. You're so out of order. Is that a thought you thought before? It certainly was when I was growing up. Sometimes even now I think my dad's a little bit out of order. Speak to him on the phone and he starts telling me what I'm doing wrong. I think, you know, Dad. Maybe, I wouldn't recommend watching it by the way, but when I was a teenager I used to watch a program called 8 Simple Rules. And it's about a dad who makes 8 rules for his teenage daughters. And the whole series is about how they can break those 8 rules. And what happens almost at the end of every episode is that in breaking the rules, they cry, they feel bad, they feel like they've made a mistake, and they have to say sorry to their dad. Are you like that? 8 simple rules, breaking your dad's or your mum's rules all the time. So, why do you need to obey your parents? It's one thing to say do it, isn't it? But why? Why does Paul say? Well, he says it's right. That's the first reason. It is right. You are growing up in a society, my friends. I was preaching in Banbury in Oxford, and the service is in a school. And they have a board up saying British values on a display board. I don't know if you've seen those in your schools. And one of the values I read, it was very interesting, it says, it is wrong to dismiss someone's beliefs as wrong. Because one of the British values is tolerance. And the culture's idea of tolerance is don't say anyone else is wrong. Otherwise you're being intolerant. Well, if that's the case, you can't say anything's wrong, can you? Murder's not wrong. Because that someone believes it is. You see how silly it is? But you're growing up in a society where there is no right and no wrong. If you feel like doing something, you should do it. Don't how dare you tell me I'm wrong to do that. But Paul says it is right. Why is it right? Because God as creator, God as your maker, he determines right and wrong. The God who made you determines right and wrong. When Jesus has a question in the Gospels about marriage, what does he do? Jesus goes back, you know, at the beginning, God man made man male and female, didn't he? He goes back to creation to establish what is right. And Paul here is like he's doing that. It's right to obey your parents because God made you to do so. I mean, we know it's natural, don't we? You know it's natural. Have you ever seen the animal programs? I mean, I'm a bit of a... I will confess, I like to watch these kind of animal programs. I find them fascinating. I could watch hours and hours of the Discovery Channel and National Geographic, and a cat gets fed up when she comes down and I'm watching something about like some weird fish in the sea or something. But you know, you learn things in these programs. And you see things that confirm God's word. Now, if God has created something and it is right, I would expect to see what God has created as being right reflected in nature, the laws of nature. Now, one of the things is, if you ever watch an eagle, and they have a little nest and they have some baby eagles, I don't know what baby eagles are called, eaglets maybe, I don't know. One of the things, you don't see the baby eagle say to the mother eagle, "Look, I want to fly now. So goodbye, Mum, I'm flying." They just fall to the ground, won't they? They submit to their mother. The mother goes off and does the hunting and brings back the food, and they eat and they gain their strength and they start flapping their wings and they watch their mother take off and they watch their mother come back. They're learning and growing up and they're maturing, and then when the time's right, they fly off. God has ordered creation so that young people obey older people and learn from them and learn from their wisdom and learn from their experience. It would be a disaster, wouldn't it, if the baby eagle just flew out the nest when it hasn't even developed the strength to fly. Absolute disaster. Imagine what life would be like if you had never once obeyed your parents. I would have been run over. I would have been electrocuted. I would have been blinded. I might have killed my baby sister. I mean, the world would be a really bad place, wouldn't it, if children didn't obey their parents. And yet, as we get older, I mean, you've never seen a child, have you, that just delights to obey their parents. You know, the moment you're born, they're trying to break the rules. But as they get older and they start to think for themselves, and as you start to think for yourselves, you will begin to start to question your parents more. And then there will be this tension in the home and this resistance. It is right, Paul says, and we ignore it at our own peril. You ignore your parents at your own peril. You ignore your Sunday school teachers who you're going to be learning from this coming year at your own peril. Listen to what Proverbs has to say about children or sons and daughters obeying their fathers. "My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother." Mothers too, not just daddies, mums as well. "For they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they lead you. When you go to school, they will lead you. When you go to work, when you're older, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. For the commandment is a lamp and the law a light." Do you know, the Bible says the son who doesn't listen to his father's advice is a fool. A fool. Now, what's also interesting about this is, if you study what the author meant by fathers in Old Testament Israel, it meant more, it didn't exclude, but it meant more than just your genetic father. In Israel's culture, a father was anyone maturer and older and more godly than you. And so what the guy in the Proverbs is saying is, listen to the advice of the elders, listen to the advice of the fathers in the church, as well as your earthly father. You ignore them. And so what this means is, in Sunday schools, in a sense, but by being in church, you have almost, by extension, lots of different mummies and daddies. Obviously, you only have real one mummy and daddy, and no one loves you like they love you. But in a very real sense, we have fathers and mothers in the Lord, people who care for us. So in a sense, coming back to this commandment, obey your parents, we have to go wider than just our parents. Obviously, it's immediately the immediate application, but using the whole of Scripture to understand Scripture, we can apply it widely. Now, let me tell you something, because I know you might think your parents are unfair sometimes, but society is taking advantage of you. Teachers are taking advantage of you, and your friends are taking advantage of you. Because they want you to do what feels great. They promise you that if you do these things, it will be brilliant. It doesn't matter if you go out with that non-Christian. It doesn't matter if you take drugs. It doesn't matter if you get drunk, because it's so much fun. Maybe if you've been to school, you've heard the expression, YOLO. You only live once. That's the attitude of today, isn't it? You only live once. Enjoy life. Have a good time. It makes sin look really attractive, really beautiful. But what they're not telling you, what society doesn't tell you, what the people at your school don't tell you, that are trying to lead you astray, is that sin might be enjoyable in the moment, but it tastes bitter after. Sin is poison. And sin will destroy you. I didn't know this when I was a teenager. I went to school, secondary school, and I remember my first day in my RE lesson. I was 12 years old, and I was saying to my friends, "Do you believe in God?" And they, "Yeah, do you believe in God, Tom?" "Yeah, we all did." Within a year, I was smoking, drinking, and getting interested in girls. And within about 3 years, I committed more sins than some of my friends took 10 years to commit. And at the time, I was loving life. At the time, I was loving rebelling against my parents. I was making their life miserable. But I, even to this day, regret some of those choices I made. Because sin is bitter. Sin ultimately will end up in your destruction. Maybe you heard the sermon on Thursday on the blessed man. They're scoffing, laughing at the righteous person, laughing at the wicked person, and they're like chaff which gets blown away in the wind. It can be bitter in this life, but it will ultimately end up in a condemnation in hell. They don't tell you that, do they? When you feel tempted to do these things, they don't tell you that. But it will end up in your ruin. Don't drink the poison that will kill you. No matter how good it might taste, it will only end up in deep pain and consequences. I read earlier, didn't I, of a king, Rehoboam. He could have listened to the elders of the land. They were saying, "Look, don't do what your father did. You know, be kind to the people, because if you're kind to them," it's really kind of common sense in some ways, isn't it? In some ways, I don't think it would take people 80 years. I don't know how old the elders were at the time, but you wouldn't think it would take them that long to work out this is wise advice. But nevertheless, you know, say to Rehoboam, "Look, if you're really nice to them, they might be willing to submit to you. And actually, they'll follow you and maybe even give their lives for you." And he goes and listens to the young men. "Now, you assert your authority, young man. You're king. Make it harder. Let them know who's boss." How Rehoboam would live to regret that decision. You know, you're growing up in a society where young people, my generation and your generation, think they know better. Now, I don't know what your political views were on Brexit, and that is not what I want to open up this morning. But what I do want to say is, having observed some of the consequences and the outworkings of Brexit, I listened to LBC Radio, and the amount of young people I've heard ring up saying, because it's just that the polls and the stats are showing that, you know, most of the voters that voted to leave were over a certain age. They were over, like, sort of 40 onwards. And the amount of young people I hear ringing up, 19-year-olds, 18-year-olds, 20-year-olds, 24-year-olds, whatever you, how old you are, the old people, so stupid. And they don't even know what the world's like anymore. You know, they've ruined it for us. You know, we know better. We're the ones that have got to live in this world. What strikes me about that is the arrogance. I feel like saying to them, has it not occurred to you that some of these people have been alive in this country long enough to have an opinion? Don't, you know, you can disagree, but don't respect them. Respect those who have gone before you. Respect your grandparents. They have been through a lot of things in life. And the arrogance that you think that somehow your experiences are different to their experiences. Listen, my friends, there's nothing new under the sun. Your parents went to school. Now, I know we live in a technological age and the temptations come in different ways, but the temptations have always been the temptations. Your parents had the same temptation to go out with girls and all the sin that would open up to you. They had the temptation to get drunk. They had all the same temptations. So consider for the fact that when they talk to you, they're talking to you out of experience, out of wisdom, out of love. They don't want you to taste the bitter poison of sin. Consider your Sunday school teachers. When they teach you the word of God and they spend ages preparing for you, they're pleading with you. They're saying, "Look, I know what it means to be convicted of sin. I know what it means to be a sinner in the hands of an angry God at my sin. And I'm pleading with you, don't walk away. Don't go on the wide road that leads to destruction. Oh, would you trust Jesus Christ? He will have you. He had me." He says, following it being right, "Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment." You see, God doesn't change. God's law doesn't change. It was the fifth commandment, wasn't it, in Exodus 20. Why did God give the commandments? Well, the commandments were the same commandments that Adam had to obey in the garden. But when everyone sinned in Adam, when all mankind went astray from God, they ignored God's commands. So when God almost like gave his law again. God's law doesn't change. And he's giving it to remind his people their obligations they have to obey the things he has said they should obey. Now, the fifth commandment, obey your parents, just a word to everyone here, especially the adults. It means more than just obey your parents. And we must be careful what the Pharisees did, because you see, they did not commit adultery. They thought if they weren't physically doing the act, they weren't committing adultery. And Jesus says to them, look, you're observing the mere letter of the law. The spirit of the law is far bigger than that. If you have lustful intent in your heart, you've committed adultery. And when he says obey your parents, it means obey anyone in authority. That's the spirit of the law. Respect people that are older than you. Respect people that are wise. Respect leaders. Obviously, yes, respect your parents, but the spirit of the law is far wider than just a mere letter. You have a duty, parents, to honour your parents in their old age, to care for them. We are in a society today where family... That's one of the wonderful things about this church, I have to say. Some people flee from this sort of situation. I think when you see families worshipping the Lord, grandparents, sons, their sons, it's a wonderful witness to how things were meant to be. Harmony in families. We live in a society which is becoming increasingly more fragmented. People are living longer. And the amount of elderly people out there who their sons don't even care, their daughters don't even care. Now, of course, sometimes children have to move for employment reasons, and that's fair enough. But if you can, stay near your families. Support one another. Your parents raise you from your childhood. And one day they're going to need you to care for them when they can't do the things they used to do. And so as we can see, this command, well, it seems first to children, has such a wide application to even us as adults. And if someone in the congregation doesn't have children, how much more do we as sons and daughters in the Lord have a duty of care to them, to love them and to care for them? For it is right, and this pleases the Lord. And consider the word, children and parents, honour your father and mother. Honour. You see, this is getting to the heart of the command now, isn't it? It's no good just doing an external obedience, is it? Like, I'll just tick that box. If I do what my dad says there, I'll get him off my case. God sees your heart. The intentions of every person's thought life are known to God. So, your parents might be pleased, but God won't be. God won't be pleased. You see, the book of James tells us something very important to hear this morning. Book of James, chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all the law." Who here in this room, young and old, granddad, grandma, father, daughter, has perfectly obeyed this command? Stand up if you have. So we're guilty of breaking the whole law. The moment the soul that sins shall what? Die. On the day you eat of the fruit, you shall die. And Adam, he did, in the sense that he could no longer live forever. His life physically was about to end. And unless he trusted in the promise of the Saviour who would come from the woman, he would eventually die eternally. His soul would go to hell. And so we are in great problems. Do you know in the Old Testament, when children didn't obey their parents, do you know what the consequence was? To disobey, if you had a rebellious son or daughter, they would be stoned to death. Now, we read that in the Old Testament. Old Testament. No, because, you see, the reason the consequence was so serious is because imagine what society would be like when every child just disregards their parents. It would create absolute anarchy. And God gave us a glimpse of that in London in 2012 in the riots. That is what can happen. So it was essential for the preservation of Israel as a nation that rebellious children were made an example of. And ultimately, in sin anyway, born in sin, they deserved death from the moment they sinned in the first place. So if we had a real view of how serious sin is before a holy God, we wouldn't be so shocked. Paul says in Galatians, "Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them." Let me tell you some news, children. Adults, you and I are under a curse outside of Jesus Christ. We are under a curse. And you see, when in the garden, God just wanted Eve and Adam to have long life. He wanted them to enjoy a blessing. You may eat of all the trees, except the one. And yet they thought somehow God was being restrictive. Your parents, when they plead with you not to do certain things, and when your Sunday school teachers plead with you, it's because they love you. And they know what's best. Now your parents do get things wrong sometimes. They're sinners too. And sometimes, and I hope parents as well, when you do make mistakes, you say sorry to your children. That won't undermine your authority. That will actually give you more credibility. You will model to your children that you are sinners, saved by grace. And I hope our leaders in this church, elders and deacons, when we get things wrong, we will say sorry to the people. It won't undermine your authority. It will just make you then realise that you're a sinner like everyone else, saved by grace. Ultimately, your relationship to your parents is a picture of our relationship to God. Now, here's the crux of the matter, children. If you disregard your parents, is it likely you're going to submit to God? It isn't, is it? Because ultimately, the picture, the relationship between a father and a child, a mother and a child, is almost like a mini picture of our relationship to God. The Bible tells us that God is the father of every single person, every family named under heaven, in a sense, because he gives every single person their life. And this command is to wake people up to the fact that ultimately we've disobeyed God. But I want you to note one thing here. It says, obey them what? In the Lord. In the Lord. If you remember from last week, it was be strong in the Lord, wasn't it? That ultimately, all that we do has to be done in Jesus Christ, in his power, in his strength. Now, how can you obey in the Lord if you're not in the Lord? How can you obey in the Lord if you're not a Christian? You can't do it, can you? You can't obey this command unless you're saved. You can obey it externally, and that's a good start in terms of it will be better for society and better for everyone if children did the right things. But in terms of your standing before God Almighty, who knows your heart, you cannot fulfill this command and be free from guilt unless you obey it in the Lord. Because, why is that? Because as I said, we're under curse. We broke one command. We cannot please God. But in Jesus Christ, who has obeyed every command, by being saved and forgiven of all your sin, you can obey your parents in the Lord. Because what is lacking in you is given to you by Jesus Christ. He gives you his righteousness. I'm running out of time. Because Paul says, secondly, obeying the command would either give you reward, rejecting it, it will give you destruction. That it may well obey the honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment, that it with a promise, that it may be well with you. Now, what's he mean by that? In the Old Testament, what God was saying there is, look, if you obey your parents in the Lord, it's going to be better for society. Things are going to go well. You'll live long in the land. Now, does that mean, therefore, if you obey your parents, you won't die early? Not necessarily. It's not making an absolute statement. You could be the most obedient child. You could be a Christian and love the Lord Jesus, and something could happen that could end up in your death. But equally, though, if you don't get drunk all the time, you're less likely to have liver failure, aren't you? If you don't take drugs, you're less likely to walk into the road and get run over or die of an illness. If you don't smoke, you're less likely to get cancer, aren't you? Yeah? You see where I'm going with this? What God is saying is, if you obey the Lord, generally speaking, it's going to go better for you, my friends. You'll have a longer life and happier life. Not absolutely. There are exceptions, of course. But generally speaking, it will be good for you. Why would you not? Why would you not? I know from my own experience, not obeying my parents ends up in disaster. I remember when I was on holiday, there was a big death slide. And I remember sitting at the top of it, and my mum was watching me, and she could see what was going on in my head. I thought it'd be really cool to go down head first and put my arms in my shirt to go down really fast. And I saw my mum get up, Thomas! I hate it when she calls me Thomas. Thomas! Don't do it! You're going to, I'm going to come off, and she knows what's happening. I'm going to scrape up all my face. Whew! And what did I do? I went flying off face. Fortunately, it wasn't concrete. The damage wasn't too bad. If only I'd listened to my mum, hey? But more importantly than long life in the land, and again, getting into the spirit of this here, because fathers, they're to train you into the in verse 4, in the Lord. They're to train you and raise you up in the ways of God, to tell you the gospel, tell you the way of their salvation. Now, okay, so obeying your parents will give you a better chance of having a longer and happier life. But more importantly than a longer, happier life, obey them in the Lord for the sake of your souls, for the sake of your precious souls that God has come to redeem. Now, how can we be redeemed? Lastly, consider Jesus who obeyed his earthly parents. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. This passage just hit me in a new way this week. It's something that you read and you just kind of gloss over. All right, from verse 41. His parents, Jesus' parents, went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. Forgot their son. Great parenting. Bit of lesson there, eh? But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, imagine the panic, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. They've lost God's son. Now, so it was. Jesus was okay, though. He's God-man. They found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers. This is like a pastor's dream, isn't it? You've got a young chap who's asking you questions. Sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. Kind of composed Jesus, who, knows everything, says, well, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. But listen to the next two verses. Then he, Jesus, went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. The ESV has, he was submissive to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. What do you see going on here? Jesus is saying, look, he's sinless. His parents aren't. If anyone had a reason to disobey their parents, it was Jesus, wasn't it? I mean, he was obeying sinful parents. He was God. But he was subject to them. Because Jesus came to redeem those who were under the curse of the law. He came to redeem you and me for breaking this fifth commandment of not obeying our parents. Jesus obeys his parents so that those who haven't obeyed their parents could be saved. He who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. This, children, this, adults, is amazing. This is glorious. Jesus has died for the ungodly. This is your hope. And so I would plead with you, children, to obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Honour your father and mother. But more than anything, obey them in the Lord. This coming year, listen to your Sunday school teachers. Listen to them as ones who love you in the Lord. And obey the command to repent and believe, that it may go well with your body, and that it may go well with your soul, and that you may have everlasting life. And maybe here, you're grown up, maybe you've got a phone call to make to your parents. I had to do this, and I still have to do it. I'm sorry, Mum. I'm sorry, Dad. You might be saved, but Just let them know that you acknowledge that you weren't the easiest child to raise. And tell them you love them and you're thankful that they raised you as they did. And commit yourself to raising your children in the Lord. Amen.